On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
Father, we bless you. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together as church family. We just pray that you bless our time in your word and speak to our hearts and change and transform our lives. We pray for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, I want to talk to you this morning about living a transformed life. And at the heart of this sermon is a Thanksgiving message. So let's read, beginning Luke 17. We're going to read about 10 individuals that I think in some way we can relate with them, at least at some point in time in our life, okay? And I think we can learn a lot from them this morning. So let's start in verse 11 of Luke 17. It says, and it came about while Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance from him. So Jesus is going from point A to point B, and in the meantime, he is stopping in this village, and at a distance are standing 10 lepers. Now, there's a reason they're standing at a distance, because they're being a leper, they had to, according to Old Testament law, they could not come within 6 feet of anybody because of their disease, all right? But also, someone who had leprosy in Israel, leprosy was associated with sin. So if you had leprosy, you must have sin in your life, that you cannot be right with God. So these men, kind of for a twofold reason, were standing at a distance from Jesus. One is because of their physical condition, and then secondly, because of their spiritual condition. And leprosy was the worst disease of Jesus' day. It would disfigure people and eat away at their physical features, and oftentimes it would result in death. I think the way that we've been, the panic over the Ebola virus of today was like the leprosy back then. Now, Ebola is will take your life if left untreated. Leprosy, you can live with it for years, but it will slowly eat away at you. So that was the condition of these 10 men. A leper was considered to be unclean, both physically and spiritually. They were prohibited from any human contact. According to Old Testament law, they could not come within 6 feet of a person. Parents and grandparents, think about that. That if you were diagnosed with leprosy, that you would never be able to hug your child or your grandchild again. Imagine having your grandchild 6 feet away and not being able to come any closer. Do you imagine the pain and the heartache of that? Lepers were viewed as the living dead. They had to wear black clothing to identify themselves as lepers. So from a distance, if you couldn't see their leprosy, because of the way they were dressed, you knew that they were lepers. They were banished from society. They had to live outside the city gates. In other words, they were complete and total social outcasts. Could you imagine being outside the city gates and you know, the doors to the city close, and life, all life is going on inside the city, and you're banned from all of it. Now just imagine that. Imagine the emotional and the mental pain of being cut off from all family, all friends, and all society. They were the walking dead who apart from God, had absolutely no hope. You got a good picture of what these guys are like and their condition? They are people banished from society, basically without hope. But then they start hearing some whisperings about a person named Jesus and how Jesus is going around and healing people. And I imagine some of them probably dreamed, if only Jesus would come to our town. But we're in this little village way off in the middle of nowhere. But then, all of a sudden, there was some exciting news. They heard that Jesus was in town. So all 10 of them went and got as close to Jesus as they could, but they still had to stand at a distance. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know anyone today who's living their life like a leper? Not so much with a physical disease, but for a number of reasons, they're standing at a distance from Christ. Maybe they feel like the walking dead. Maybe they just feel dead and lifeless. Maybe they're viewed as a social outcast, or they're a person who's living without hope of any kind. Or maybe the emotional pain within them is so horrific that they look at life and just see no hope whatsoever. Do you know anybody like that? If so, you could almost say in many respects they're a modern-day leper. But what we have to understand, regardless of their condition, there is hope for each and every one to have a normal, healthy, meaningful, blessed life. So how does one go from standing at a distance from friends and family in Christ, feeling alone and outcast and dead inside? How do they go from that to being completely and totally transformed, of having a life that is rich and full and meaningful and so on and so forth? That's what we're going to learn this morning by studying this story. There are three keys that I see to a transformed life. And key number one is this: we cannot be afraid to ask for help. Let's read Luke 17, verse 13. Let's begin in verse 11. It says, "And they came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him." Verse 13, "And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" You know what's interesting? Their condition made them desperate, but it was the presence of Christ that made them hopeful. They had desperation, but when Jesus came on the scene, now they had hope. And in their desperation, they cried out to Jesus for help. How many would agree that it takes some people getting very desperate before they're willing to ask God for help? You know, all sorts of stuff is going on in their life. Their life is falling apart. Maybe they feel like an outcast. Maybe they're just emotionally distraught. For whatever reason, you know, their life is in upheaval. But yet, they're not willing to cry out to God. They feel like God is at a distance from them. Maybe they feel so unworthy, so sinful, so beaten up and broken that their sin and that sense of unworthiness keeps them at a distance. God doesn't love me. He wouldn't do that for me. And we buy into that. And we're so broken that we're unwilling almost to cry out to God. Then there's almost the other extreme, where we can be too proud and we can be unwilling to admit that we need help. Ever met anybody like that? The problem is, that kind of person just isn't desperate enough. They can still fix it. Their life is going down the toilet, but they can still fix it. They, you know, I can still do this. I don't need anybody's help, most of all God's. Understand this, that desperation can be a good thing if it causes us to turn to the Lord for help. And what we need to understand about our God is that He is more than willing, everybody say more than willing, that God is more than willing to extend grace and mercy to all who call upon His name. Regardless of your situation, let's look at what Hebrews 4, verse 16 says. It says, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy," and these 10 lepers were crying out for mercy, "that we may find grace to help in the time of need." So the first step of going from a life that is in turmoil and falling apart to seeing it totally transformed and living it to the full, the first step is being willing to humble ourselves and to ask God for help and to admit, "God, I can't do this without You. I cannot do it alone." The second step is simply obey God's instruction. Verse 14 says, "And when Jesus saw them, He said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed." Now, I had this little saying. If you want God's blessing, how many here want God's blessing? You got to do it God's way. If a couple are dating and engaged and they want to get married, if they want God's blessing in their marriage, they have to do it God's way. That means leaving the marriage bed undefiled. That means living separately right up until the day of their wedding. People want God's blessing, but they're not willing to do it God's way. They're not willing to obey what the Scripture teaches us about these things. So we look at the lepers. We saw that all 10 lepers obeyed what Jesus instructed them to do. And Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And that was part of the Old Testament law, was these 10, only a priest could declare a leper completely clean. And when a priest declared a leper cleaned, what would happen is they are free to go back in society. Could you imagine going years without being able to hug your wife or your husband or your children or your grandchildren, then one day being clean and knowing that you can go and embrace them once again? So that's what happened. And I love the last part of that verse. It says, "And it came about as they were going, they were cleansed." It didn't say they were cleansed or they were healed and then they left, right? "Go and show yourselves to the priest." It came about as they were going, they were cleansed. In other words, they began to obey before the healing came. You with me? That's a really important part to understand, because we cry out to God, and just if you're taking notes, just read Psalm 40, especially the first 5 verses. Not right now, but read it. And you see the results of someone crying out to God and how God moves in and delivers them in their situation. But these people, they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord addressed their situation. They said, go show yourself to the priest. So out of obedience, even though they saw no outside evidence of being healed, they went to show themselves to the priest, and as they were going, they were cleansed. God honored that act of faith on the part of the ten and moved in their situation once they started to obey. Oftentimes, people will cry out to God, and they get a sense of they know what God wants them to do, but they wait for God to do it before they're willing to obey. You with me? And they can't understand why the answer doesn't come. You know, as God, I cried out to you, but you look a little deeper. Yeah, I know, God. I know you want me to deal with this part of my life or to deal with this or deal with that. But, Lord, you do this for me first, and then I'll go do this. Right. Once we obey what God has told us to do and obey his instruction, then you'll see God moving on our behalf to do great and amazing things. You see, desperation will not only cause us to ask God for help, but to obey him as well. Some people will ask God for help, but they're not yet desperate enough to obey him. Another little saying on my part. Blessing is found in obedience. Blessing is found in obedience. It's not the hearing, but it is the doing that brings the blessing into our life. We have to hear so we know what to do, but it's not until we step out in faith and begin to do it that God moves in our situation and starts turning it around. Now, having said that, you know, our spiritual walk is just a continual journey, a growth journey. Imagine the blessing that awaits you on that next step of obedience, whatever it is. We're all at different levels spiritually in our walk with God. But imagine, because so often when God, we hear clearly from the Lord what he wants us to do, it requires faith to do it. And then once we do it, it can mess with our rationalizing and our intellect. But by faith, we step out and do it. The blessing that's going to come as a result is huge. You know, and it makes me look forward like, Lord, what's the next thing? What's the next thing you want me to do? And each one is a faith-building experience. When we step out in faith and God blesses that effort and we see how we moved as a result, you know, our faith just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So, for a life that is in turmoil and crisis, the first thing to do is to ask God for help. Humble ourselves. God, help me. Please help me. And the second thing is, and understand that God will speak to you, whether it's through a sermon, whether it's through just opening the Bible and beginning to read, whether it's through the counsel of a good friend. Somehow God will speak to you a very clear word, and you are at a very, very critical point right here. You will either choose to obey what God wants you to do, and usually your sinful nature, your flesh, don't like it. So you're going to have to, kind of crucify that sucker, you know, just throw your flesh up on the cross and just nail it to the cross. The Bible says we have to crucify our flesh really daily, all right? And then we obey what God wants to do, and the minute we start obeying, it just puts all heaven in motion for God to start moving on our behalf. That's for God to move in our crisis. Now I'm going to show you the key point to go from God answering a crisis to total life transformation. And that's in the third point. The third point is this. Be the one. Be the one. Let's read Luke 15 through 19. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, pay close attention to this. 10 lepers were healed, but only one made the effort to thank Jesus. The Bible says that he glorified God with a loud voice, he fell on his face in worship, and he gave thanks. He was not shy about it. With a loud voice, he thanked and praised God. He didn't care who was around to hear it. But he was the only one. The 10 lepers were healed, but only one left forgiven. And this is where we cross over from healing to total life transformation. So listen closely. Life transformation happened to the one who turned back and gave thanks. Jesus said in verse 19, after he did this, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, if you study the language of that phrase, made you well, the original language, what it literally means is your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. In other words, Jesus is saying, not only have I healed your leprosy, but I have forgiven you of your sins. Go your way. You are healed inside as well as out. You see, I believe that Jesus recognized with this one individual, it was much more than just him speaking words. Oh, hey, thanks, Jesus. I believe Jesus saw his heart, and that his heart was filled with gratitude toward God. How many of you ever had somebody thank you but didn't really mean it? They weren't sincere with it. Oh yeah, thanks. Then you had other people, it was a heartfelt sense of gratitude. And it was real and it was genuine. I mean, a world of difference between the two, right? See, I believe that's the type of heart which this individual turned back, this foreigner, and thanked Jesus with. And Jesus saw his heart and saw that he was crying out for much more than healing. He was crying out for forgiveness. And Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. You see, all 10 lepers walked away with a testimony, but only one walked away with a relationship. 9 went back to their old lives, while 1 began a new transformed life. Can you see the difference there? And what we have to understand is that God wants to do so much more than help us out of our immediate crisis. God is so faithful to do that. You know, we get ourselves into a bunch of trouble and we mess up, and there are always consequences, so don't think that God's going to bail you out and you're not going to have to pay a price for sin, but God is faithful when we cry out to him and ask him for help, that he moves in our situation as we obey him. But he wants to do so much more than just help us out of crisis. He wants to reach down into the very depths of our inward being and bring healing and complete and total forgiveness and restoration to us. How many of you know that it's sort of human nature for people to turn to God in the time of crisis? Not everybody, but, I mean, we saw that in 9/11, didn't we? You know, 9/11, the first couple of weeks after that happened, I saw a lot of people in this church who had never either been here before or hadn't been here in years. They just quit going to church But all of a sudden, they're back in church. But it's interesting. With the lepers, as soon as their crisis was met, 9 out of 10 just walked away. They were healed, but that was it. When 9/11 hit, people came in because they needed to know how to deal with this crisis. And when the crisis passed, they walked away. They didn't see the need to go back to church. They didn't see the need to cry out to God because that sense of desperation was gone. But the sad part of it is, there's so much more that God wanted to do in these people's lives than just give them comfort in the time of crisis. You understand? And had they stayed and had they been truly turned to Christ and with this heart of gratitude for their salvation and for God moving in their situation, God would have said, I think, opened the door to show them so much more of what he could do in their life. Am I making sense? You understand the point I'm trying to get to here? I remember years and years ago, in early morning prayer, we're standing around and I open my eyes and I see a gal who attended our church for a couple of years, and then she hadn't been there for 6 months or a year. She quit going to church, which is a big trend right now. People just don't think they need to go to church. I think that contradicts Scripture. But not only did she come back to church, but she came to a prayer meeting. And the whole time that she attended our church, she never once showed up at an early morning prayer meeting. And I could look in her face, and the moment I saw her face, I knew that she was in crisis. And she had a little daughter that had some medical diagnosis that just had her broken to the core. And she was desperate. And so she came and she did what she knew to do, and she came to the prayer meeting and she asked God for help. You know, and the obedience was coming and asking, and she stayed for the church service and she came back next week and she brought me a report of how God moved wonderfully in this little girl's life, and it just turned the diagnosis around and brought complete healing. And the minute that happened, she's never been in this church again. Now, God met her in that moment of crisis. God brought healing in the situation. But there's so much more that God wanted to do in her life that would keep her on course, that would help her to move from crisis to a life that is transformed and walking in the blessing and the favor of God on a daily basis. Do you understand that? Because this is the critical point. This individual and all those who came in for a week or two after 9/11 and decided to go back out when the wave, how it washes in and then it washes back out, they missed out on the inner life transformation that God wanted to do in their life from that point forward. And they missed out on the maximum relationship that God wanted to have with them. And that is the danger, that if we have crisis, and that crisis, that desperation can cause us to cry out to God, and that's a wonderful thing to do. God will give us some type of direction, and we obey that. We see God move in our situation. Now we have a choice. Are we going to be the 9 who walk away? Or are we going to be the 1 who decides to turn back with a heart that wants to get right before God and say, God, thank you. And experience all that God has for us. The transformation. Because these lepers, now their bodies are healed, but the emotional pain and distress that they had to have been through for years. With that 1, I believe that Jesus just reached down and completely brought complete and total healing to the 1. The other 9 left physically okay, but everything else, they just sold themselves so short. this holiday season and beyond, I want to encourage you to be the one who does not walk away from God after the crisis is over. If you find yourself in crisis, if you find yourself whatever it is, and you cry out to God, and He comes in and moves in your situation, don't walk away. Use that as an opportunity to draw ever closer to Him, because there's so much more He wants to do. Be the one who is quick to thank God for every blessing. It keeps our heart soft and tender before Him. It keeps our attitude where it should be. Be the one who allows God to do a deeper transforming work in our life. Don't settle just for relief from the crisis. Understand there's so much more that God wants to do to make your life better. And finally, be the one who has a relationship as well as a testimony.